Yes, hello and welcome to Sports Bets Racing Podcast. I'm your host, Mick Wall. Joining me as always, got form expert Julian Vellance down the end and SD Simon Marshall, the one and only. How are we, boys?
Yeah, good, thanks, mate.
Hi, hey, Julesy.
How you going, SD?
Hello, everybody. Great week last week.
It was. Just a quick little one. What's the brand ambassador role here with the hat there, Wally?
Don't worry about the hat. The hat's fine. We just
happening here?
Oh,
is this sort of like a bit of the grid girl stuff? No. Where you got Wally now as our grid girl?
No. Just needed a lid, and this was the only one I could.
No, it looks good. Grab.
Obviously
good.
Overdue for brings the barber.
Blue. Brings out the Jules. Blue in your eyes, mate.
Been fabulous. Been doing too much form. Haven't had time to get to the
busy.
Barber, Jules.
That's good racing. That's why.
From very good racing, and we got seven races. We're going to have a look at here. All group races. We'll start at Caulfield, and then we'll obviously head up north. Let's get straight into it, guys. Kicking off with the naturalism, and all races today will be called as they should be, which is race 7 at Caulfield. Now, looking at this, you've got Stampede will probably start favourite. That's currently $4.80, followed in the market by Abby Marie at $6, Amelie Starr at $7, and you head right down to Samovare at $8.50. Really open race by the looks of it. Jules, why don't you kick us off?
Yeah, look, it's definitely an open race. So probably the anomaly from this race last year was Jamaica. Jamaica was the star performer, you know, then went on and won the Caulfield Cup. But usually the 4 years before that, it was just an okay horses race. And I think we're back to this level with this race. Really even bunch. It's really hard to pick one out that you could really confidently back. Abby Marie probably comes from the best form race from the Valley. Was a messy race with the horse that fell or lost the jock, but Bonneval form. Abby Marie was really good, really has obviously come back well in the Mick Kent yard. She's obviously going to run well. Stampede's a horse that is going well. There's plenty I could mention. You know, Harlem, Amelie Starr had no luck last start. You would have done your cash there, but she's probably going to run really well. The backup 7 days is a great guide. DK Weir on the backup is a good guide. You'd follow her in. But it's a really even race. If you liked anything, I wouldn't talk you out of anything because it's really even.
Yep. Yeah. Steve? Julesy summed it up. The one I want to ride for what it's worth is number 10, Abby Marie. I like a four-year-old mare on the climb, similar to Jamaica last year, who went on to win the Caulfield Cup, as you mentioned, Julie. She's drawn the perfect gate in gate four. She's got the right weight to win a naturalism, 55.5. And her two lead-up runs both at Weight for Age behind Hartnell first up over 7 furlongs and then 6 furlongs behind Bonneval, who's now second-line favourite, I think, behind the Great Humidor, who won last week in the Maccabi Diva. She's had two good runs leading into this. She's a Group 1 winner over the mile and a quarter as a three-year-old filly.
Yep.
That sort of ticks the box for me, apart from throwing the dart at the form guide against the wall in this type of race. Abby Marie's the one I want to ride. I'm really looking forward to Big Duke hitting the wire in this, stepping up to the mile and a quarter now. I think, look, the weight he's got to carry, I don't think he can win it, but he's the horse I'm really looking forward to most going on into these handicap races leading into Caulfield Cups.
Nice. There you go. So very open. Like you guys, Abby Marie seems like it's going to be the class horse in the race. I don't mind Samovare. It's racing really, really well. Down in weights, I'll take the 850 as a secondary there. All right, guys. So we move on now. We'll move on to the How Now, which is race 8. We've got Ravi that's just come into favouritism there at $4.80, just from Miss Rock at the $5. Then you've got Prompt Response at $9. Then it double figures the rest. So you talk about that being open. This is an opening.
What price is Furyk?
Oh, sorry, Furyk's fives as well, okay. Jules. Apologies, mate.
Yeah.
But you've got, Jules, this is one that you do like here. You've got one that you really like here.
Yeah, really keen to play into this race. Usually mare's races are pretty open. There's a lot of chances. I don't think there are many chances at all. I think there's probably only two or three genuine chances. And from that, I think there's one that actually is above that, and that's the 6 Ravi. Love the camp, the Snowden camp. I loved her return at Rose Hill. I've got a feeling that the Sydney form is a bit stronger than the Melbourne form, and I reckon that'll hold up throughout the entire carnival. But I really like Ravi. I love Barrier 5 for her. She usually does get – she can get a long way back in her races. And we saw that actually last prep, a race at Morfordville, which actually Furyk beat Ravi. And a lot of people look at the form and go, well, Furyk beat Ravi. There's no real weight swing. You know, you've got to have Furyk on top. But if you go and have a look at the race, Ravi got so far out of her ground. Furyk sat on the speed. There was no speed in the race. There'll be actually some good tempo in this race. I think Ravi has got the better turn of foot. I reckon she'll be closer in the run to Furyk, and I'm really keen on her. I think the price is fantastic. Really, really keen on Ravi. And there's just one down the bottom that if there's any money for, Moonlight's Choice,
yep.
Double figures. Look, it might start 30s and obviously it'll run accordingly. It won't go any good. But if there's a little trickle of money, I'd want to be just having a little bit on that just to be careful. But really keen on Ravi.
Really keen on Ravi. SD, you happy to go with Jules there? Do you like something alternatively?
Yeah, look, I want to ride Furyk in the race and respect to Julesy in summing that up from that race at Morfettville where Ravi got out of her ground. Furyk did win the race. She's a Group 3 winner at the track and the trip, so that's got to be a sort of advantage her, I would have thought. Just forgive her first up run where she had no luck whatsoever. So it's Mertens against D Dunn. Ravi's drawn 5 and Furyk's drawn 6. These two, I think, will fight it out. But my blowout, my best roughie for the punters this weekend is number 15, Moonlight's Choice. She's just outstanding first up. She's got a terrific record at the track and trip. And I think drawn that inside gate, tucked away just back in behind them. Dean Yendall for Darren Weir, if she can poke out late with her first up record and her record at the track and the trip, she could be the blowout at double figure odds there, Wooly.
All right, nice one. Okay, so Ravi Jules, that sounds like just about your best and SDs each way there. I mean, Moonlight Choice, a good one to watch, and if there is money there, you'd probably get around it. If I had the ability to fold on the weekend, it would have been all day, every day, twice on Sunday, Swampland for me. Look, it ended up getting out, but it took so long to do so. I thought it was going to be absolutely just crucified. It was going down. It was running up the back horses. I thought there's no chance. Got out. Obviously got out too late, so the fold would have been a good one. I would have got my money back. Jules, what was yours? If you had to pick one.
Yeah, I might have got confused here. I thought it was a life experience with the fold, but it's obviously about racing, is it? I remember just very quick, there was a I ended up catching up with a girl who said she was very interested in toys, and then she went and freshened up, and the next thing she had one strapped to herself, and I wish I could have folded out of that. But anyway, in terms of the horses, I thought maybe Crocodile.
That man just says, I wish I could have folded.
Half an hour later.
Obviously didn't.
Half hour later.
No, I didn't. Oopsie. Well, you got to. Yeah, anyway, I'm here today. Cushion on the seat.
Your fault. From the weekend, what would it be?
Well, it was Crocodile Rock. Yeah. I thought he was travelling. Kay McAvoy at the 600. He hadn't let him go, and I was really confident in the run. And then I just slightly looked to my left, and I saw El Mandan, the Melbourne Cup winner, and Ollie hadn't moved. And I was like, oh, please hit this button now. Mm. It was like in the at the airport where you got those travelators. You can walk, and then you can walk on the travelator. Crocodile Rock was walking, and El Mandan was just unbelievable. Ollie needs to check for whiplash how many head checks he did in the last 200 metres. Yep. It was a concern, but it's a great product, isn't it, that fold?
Yeah, absolutely. SD?
Yeah, mine was I'm a Star in the mare's race. She was carrying the top weight and Ollie got skiing on her at the 1,000 and he ran straight up there, Ginger. Then they lobbed out 3 deep outside him and she was locked up with nowhere to go. Right there and then I wanted to bail out and I wanted to get me cash back and just hit that fold button and press confirm and I would have got me cash back. Yeah. That's the beautiful thing about it.
Very, very good. And look, as I said, it's going to be everyone's best friend this spring. It's just a cracker. And the beautiful thing about it is you do that and then you get your money back and you can have another go.
Exactly. Relaunch.
All right, so let's go to Rose Hill, guys, and we'll kick off with the first of the group races, the Colin Stephen Quality Race 2. We've got Broadside as a $2.15 favourite in a very small field. Look, from there, I don't know where we go. SD, your thoughts?
Elwood's out, is he? Scratched?
Yeah, Elwood scratched,
Elwood,
gone.
Elwood's out, so... yeah, tricky little race now. Honestly, he was the one.
You've got no idea.
SD wanted Albert.
Fair bump play on.
Jules?
It's the last chance, sort of the, you can back this, you can win this race and then back up into the Metrop next week.
Yep.
That's probably the only exciting thing about this race. It's a really poor thing to just have 5 horses in a, you know, quality Group 3 2,400 metre race. Yeah. A bit disappointing for Sydney, I think. Mm. Really happy to take on Broadside today, tomorrow. Okay. I think that price is poison. If you look at the SP of the three, so Auvray, Admiral Jello and Broadside all ran against each other last start. Now, Broadside won the race, but his SP was $16. Yep. The other two were $9 and $8 respectively. I just can't see how he's this short. The others have got a weight swing. I'm happy to back Auvray and Admiral Jello just because I think Broadside's far too short at the current price, and I think he'll get out. I can't see punters taking that price.
They already agree. It's $2 out to $2.15 early, so clearly they're on the same page there, Jules. All right, let's get into some of the more competitive races and some of the better fields and bigger fields. Looking at the Shannon Stakes, which is race five, We've got a favourite here, $3.10, Washington Heights, closely followed by Dawn Wall at $3.50, Imposing Lass down the bottom at $5.50, and Louboutin at $7, and then it goes out from there. SD, you got thoughts here?
Yeah, I want to ride Dawn Wall in this with the 53 kilos. Just going back through her prep last prep, she beat Louboutin over the mile last prep, and then she went on to win the Gold Coast 1800 metre leading into the Queensland Oaks, and then she was put out for a spell. So she's an up-and-comer. I loved her first up run behind Washington Heights from the 1400. She just flopped out, sat back, and then zoomed home. Like, give me 1500 metres next start, Corey Brown, gate three. I just think that she's on the way up. And from that first up run and that form from last prep, I think she's the one for me in the Shannon.
Perfect. Jules?
Yeah, again, don't want to bang on about it, but the SP profiles are really good if you're looking at horses. And again, Washington Heights ran against Dawn Wall last start. Washington Heights ran around 11-8 and Dawn Wall 7-2 or $4.50. So you'd expect, again, Washington Heights probably to firm up a little bit from that this current price. The slight knock on it is it going to 1500 and Dawn Wall is going to be fitter, second up, while a great camp. K McAvoy, though, Washington Heights is riding fantastically and actually makes Dawn Wall a kilo and a half better for beating it last start. So hard to drop off Washington Heights. And the other two I can sort of give a little tip for are Louboutin and Imposing Lass on the 8-day backup from Newcastle. Probably in particular Imposing Lass, who drops 4 kilos on that run, will probably go to the front, not a lot of speed and could be hard to catch. So Imposing Lass maybe on the backup.
All right. Okay. All right. We'll move to race six now, gents, the Gloaming Stakes. Now, we've got up top there Astoria, which is $2.60 favourite for James Cummings and Godolphin, and then Sanctioned at $3.40 closely behind. And then it bounces out a little bit to Sully at $8.50 and the Kingdom Come at $9.50. SD, do you want to kick us off here with your thoughts? I mean, it's looking like a race in two for Godolphin, and be interesting to see if you think there's anything outside of them.
Yeah, the pajamas sort of dominate here, the blue pajamas, that is. Sanctions the horse I want to be riding. He's third up. He's two runs this time back in, and his last start behind Gold Standard, who's heading towards the Golden Rose, the Group 1, and will roll along and probably be the horse to catch there, Gold Standard. I thought I liked the way he finished off behind Gold Standard. He's drawn three, Corey Brown. I just think he's on the way up, this horse. He's a beautiful big chestnut, and stepping out to this type of trip because he settles so well with Hugh Bowman on board, Sanction's the one for me.
Yeah. Jules?
Yeah, they definitely dominate, no doubt there, Astoria and Sanctioned. I think Astoria deserves to be favoured off that run at Newcastle. That was really, really good, quite impressive. Sanctioned, I think, probably looking at maybe the spring champion over 2,000, that Group 1 race. I reckon that might be the race for it. And I reckon this is a good lead up to that, but he can definitely win. There's no other chances for me other than the Victorian horse, Sully, who I don't know if anyone saw that race at Bendigo. It was outrageous. It's got so much to learn, so erratic, but very, very classy. And I wouldn't be surprised if it could improve. And even going the reverse way might actually help it, because it didn't know anything about racing. And I think it'll be a really good four-year-old, probably a really good three-year-old in the autumn.
It was six deep when Zach Spain let it rip, and then he went to go and pull the whip out. It was going that quick. It ducked in six horses and nearly put a horse through the fence.
It was scary.
Zoomed up and just missed.
Yeah.
There was another horse, Julesy. Did you watch Thy Kingdom Come when it's maiden the last start? At one by six. And, geez, I loved its gallop out. If there was a blowout, I thought Sydney, Johnny Thompson's a really good guard, judge. Blake Shin to ride. I just liked the way it cleaned out after that that gallop over 1,600 metres.
Yep. No, fair call.
Yeah, very good, very good. So one to watch there. Sully definitely goes in the black book then. We're saying autumn, bang.
I think it's going to be a great
And as a four-year-old. All right, fantastic. Okay, guys, we go to race seven, the Golden Rose. Now, this is an absolute cracker. Minari, no surprises, very short favourite at the $2. Be very interested to hear your thoughts on where we think that will start, whether it'll start in black or red. Then, obviously, yeah, it jumps out a little bit. Prior at 550, which has actually been in from six, you'd think that Minari has its number based on previous runs and also where they're starting from barrier-wise. Merchant Navy's at $8.50, and then we start getting our gold standard at $12. Jules, do you want to kick us off here with your thoughts? Because we've already had the chat about Minari. It'd be interesting to see. I mean, this is a $2 favourite, clearly the best horse in the race, we'd all agree.
Yeah.
And it's just, can it win from 11?
Yeah, no doubt it's the best horse in the race, and it's proven that. Its last two runs have been really good, and then you've got to think, can it repeat again for a third run? I think it can. It's a sensational horse. But the big trick for this race is the speed map. Yeah. And we've got our guys doing it, you know, on the trading floor, and I've done it a few times, and it's just – really hard to work out where these are going to lob. Minari from 11 and Pariah from 12, favourite and second favourite. Where do they go? I think they probably start to push forward on Minari and just hope to get a spot, but there's a chance you'll be three wide, no cover. There's really good speed in this race as well. I thought the 1,400 metres might have been a softer tempo, which would have helped Minari, because that's probably a bit of a knock that getting to the 1,400. If this is a really hard run 1,400 metre race and Minari has to face the breeze, that's the big chink in the armour for him, and something could beat him. The other thing is go, okay, well, then I go to the next best horse, I think, which is Pariah. He's drawn 12, and I think probably they'll have no other choice than to go back. I think if they try and go forward as well, they're probably most likely, if the Minari finds a spot, Pariah doesn't. So I think they'll go back, hope for the tempo to be genuine, which we think it will be, and then have last crack at them. But, again, you've got to come off the back of horses and get past them. It's just such a tricky map, and it becomes a really intriguing race because of it.
If Pariah goes back, and we know Minari goes through, but if Pariah goes back and does have a crack at him, is it good enough to run over the top of them?
Yeah, probably.
With a genuine speed. If there's genuine tempo.
Yeah, I think so. I think he is. But the problem is if Minari gets a position and gets cover, he won't be able to get past Minari. No. Minari's just too good for him. It just depends on if Minari ends up in that really awkward spot, which is possible. Yeah, you'd love to be able to see the first 400 metres because you just about know the result, I think, from there.
Is it fair to say if you're a Minari backer, then, and not to harp on about the foal, but this is the perfect race for it, and you have it because you're going to know – let alone with 400 or 500 to go, you're going to know straight away if it's got cover. If it gets cover, it'll just be too good for him.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's fantastic. Great. Without banging on about it. It's the perfect foal bet for people that love Minari, for sure.
It's an intriguing battle of tactics between these jockeys. Obviously, Minari, Josh Parry's drawn 11. Pariah's drawn 12 outside him. I would expect if I'm going to run 1,400 metres, I've got to get cover and I've got to put him to sleep and use my turner foot at the right time to try and win over the 7 furlongs. And then you've got Gold Standard drawn 10. Gold Standard's dropping off a 1,500 metre gallop back 100 metres to 14. He's hard fit. He's trained by Waterhouse and Bott. What do they do best? They roll along in sectional times with hard fit horses and they make it a true staying test staying test over the 7 furlongs knowing that I can win 1,500. So Gold Standard rips across from that outside barrier to get across at some stage and get a nice little breather from the 1,000 to the 8 to the 600. Trapeze Artist, who is stablemate of Minari's, got to go forward and help set this speed up as well, I would have thought. Trapeze Artist has got good gate speed. He can't sit back and then use a turn of foot and blow these horses away. So he's got to roll forward and sit on the speed and hopefully get a camp on Gold Standard. Yeah. And I reckon Team Ryan would probably ask that horse to do that in this type of race. And then you've got Formality. What's Formality going to do with Karen McAvoy? She's got good gate speed. She likes to roll forward. Will she use those two horses in Trapeze Artist and also Gold Standard to come across and try and get a spot? Because you know in that first furlong and a half, these jockeys will want to do that and then they'll want to rest at some stage and then use that turn of foot. So where's Minari fit into this? I think if he uses that speed, if he can, to his advantage. He's a big horse. He doesn't want to get back in trouble. And if if he's stuck three deep but he's in a nice rhythm, being a big horse that he is, knowing that he's the best horse in the race, I think Josh Parr will be happy to be there.
Yep.
I think he'll be happy to be in the first half of the field rather than the back half of the field, knowing that my hardest to beat will be up on the speed. And if they get that cheap section, I want to be right on their clacker. Mm-hmm. Inari, for me, I don't care where they ride him. I want him to be on the speed somewhere. Contradicting myself. I want him to be on the speed somewhere, and I just think he's the best horse, and we'll see a superstar that he is.
Yeah, and look, I think it's one of those ones, and I've been, as you know, I've been against Manara a couple of times already, but I'm completely turned around. I just think he's a genuine star in the making, and I think that we want more great horses.
Yeah.
We want the next Black Caviar, the next Winx. I'm not saying that that's what he'll be, but we want great horses, so I just think it'd be fantastic. Best horse in the race, dealing with that barrier and whatever conditions are there. If he can get through and win, it'll be great.
Well, what we've seen with one horse going into this race, the one we haven't spoken about is the Merchant Navy, who's eased out in the betting, drawn the good gate. Did have a prep in Sydney, this horse, by the way, but didn't get to the races. So right leg, it's no problem if you're backing Merchant Navy. Mm. Has been up in Sydney and had a full prep. But one thing we've seen with Minari is first up, he sat back. Second up, when he won, he sat up on the speed. Mm. He's got strings to his bow, and superstar horses show you that and prove that they can do it any which way.
Yeah. That's right. Hard to knock Merchant Navy, though. I mean, you can only beat what you're racing against, and it's got a flawless record. So it'll be an interesting one, but hopefully Minari can get the job done. Yeah, now looking at race eight, boys, this is the last of the group races for the day. We've got the Research Stakes. Relatively open affair. Ome Sword is a 4.40 favourite, being backed in from 4.80 when the markets opened. Bonnie O'Reilly at $4.80. Then we've got Daisy Doom at $5, Danish Twist at $7, and the toppy there, Dixie Blossoms, at $7.50. So pretty open. I know Ome Sword's one we've spoken about a couple of times, and it's been relatively disappointing, and we've been missing this campaign so far. Jules, why don't you kick us off with your thoughts here?
Yeah, Ome Sword's probably the horse you need to probably talk about first, and the jury's out with her. Yeah. Massive D-Day. So she gets her chance to win, but look, I couldn't possibly back her because I'm just taking too much on trust on her previous form, and I just don't know if she's come up. If she's to fail here, she's well and truly put to the out to the sea. Yep.
What have we seen two backer Julesy in her two runs?
Oh, she's, I don't know. I mean, probably the first one when she sort of missed it, she actually hit the line okay. The last 200 was okay. And last start was just a bit of nothing for me.
Yeah.
I don't know. Originally Waller was thinking she was dead set a 1,200-meter horse. They were going for the Everest. Yeah. Now it looks like she can't do that, so they've gone to 1,400, and there's a possibility if she's to win here, they'll back her up into the Epsom. Mm. It's just like they're changing the prep because I don't think she's come up how they wanted her to come up, so it's a worry. I couldn't take the price about her. Mm. In saying that, if there's big money for her, you know the camp's got her right and she's ready to rock and roll.
Jules, on that as well, see, this is the thing. You said she hit the line okay, right? This worries me. When you've got horses like Dixie Blossoms, Daisy Doom, Bonnie O'Reilly, they're not superstars, but they deliver in most times they come out to race, and they're going to produce. Only one of them needs to race up to their best, and if she's not 100%, it just doesn't win.
Yeah, exactly. These other mares are quite consistent, and they will find her out on Saturday if she doesn't produce her best. And look, I think if she produces her best, then she's a horse you can follow through the prep. But I can't possibly back her. Just I'm hoping that she's going to make it. So it's a tricky race. I mean, Bonnie O'Reilly was really good first up, probably backed off her and now can go again. I think she'll really run well. Danish Twist, Daisy Doom, Dixie Blossoms, they're all chances.
Yep. SD?
Yeah, Ome Saw just looks like a mare that just hasn't come up, the four-year-old mare this time in. So interesting it is D-Day. I'm happy to go steer away from her. Euro Angel's the one for me. I just love the way she finished off in race.
She's scratched. Oh. I tell you what, he's having a mare. He's having a mare.
In mare's race. Well, lucky, you should be in this.
Lucky I have a backup. Production meeting beforehand. Sorry, boys.
That's all right.
Number five, Danish Twist for me. She was climbing straight all on. Over them. She was. She was my blowout. So she was terrific in the Scirocco, and she was climbing all over them. She loves the 1,400 metres, Danish Twist, for the gold pendant.
And she's been back too. She was $8.50 into $7.50, $7 after the scratching. So there's definitely been money.
Since forever, man has been putting things inside things. Spears inside woolly mammoths. Faces inside beards. Fingers inside noses. Maps inside bins. And foots squarely inside mouths.
I love you, Karen. I mean Michelle.
Speaking of putting things inside things, Sportsbet's new Same Game Multi lets men build a bet inside the same game of footy. The Same Game Multi. New from Sportsbet. Conditions apply. Gamble responsibly.
All right, gentlemen, let's go around the country and let's get our best. Now, I get excited here, Jules, because about a month ago, you were tasked with getting our Western Australian friends a winner. And we love Perth, and we love Perth racing, and we get around them in a big way. But you've been going really well. Did I read the run sheet right that you have two tips in Perth?
No, you read it wrong because I've got three.
Oh, my God. That's outstanding, Jules. Where do we start? Talk to us.
Okay, so it's Belmont on Saturday. Yep. Race two, number one, Money Mahar or Money Mar. I don't know how you pronounce it. It could be Mahar because it might be out of El Mahar. I don't actually know. But Money Mahar, race two, number one. Then we go to race five, number two.
Just so you know, that was $1.90 out to $2.05.
Okay. Then race five, number two. What price we got there, brother?
Race five, number two, Young Gina or is it Gina?
Young Gina. Well, I don't know what you're getting up
to.
I
think it's Gina. Young Gina. $2.70. Also easy, $2.30 to $2.70.
Yeah, I think that one will actually hemorrhage in. I reckon that'll be a shortener on the day. So Young Gina there. And then we go to race six, number four, Our Finest Moment.
Yes, okay. And that's $3.10.
Okay.
Out from $2.70. Yep. Tell you what, nice little treble and doubles there, Jules.
Yeah, we'll have a play with those three and see how we go. Oh, some Gina involved.
That's outstanding. All right, so have we got anything in Adelaide?
We do.
Oh, wow. He's on fire.
Yeah, we like Adelaide at the moment because Weary's sending a few over there. So
how good is Weary sending horses to Adelaide
the job
for our benefit?
Yes.
Give it to us,
race five, number one, Versa.
$3.80 into $3.40.
Yep.
The three kilo claim on 59.5 is
It's had the 3 weeks off. Ran really well at Caulfield in a really quick race. I think it's too good for them over there.
Love that. Outstanding. Yep. And we'll head up to Brisbane. Have we got anything
they're at
up in the Sunshine State?
We do. We're at Ipswich this week.
Where are we?
Again, don't ask any questions after this one, but race six, number 10, final zero. I think he can run really well.
Race six, number 10, final zero in Ippy.
Yes.
And $3.70 is $3.80. Nice enough. So good price there to have. Now, gentlemen, do we have anything in Sydney or what are our bests in Sydney?
SD?
Well, I've got a couple of scratchings there. Race five, I'm going Dawn Wall for me. Okay. Race five, number nine, into Minari. Race seven, number two for Sydney.
I like it. And
tricky day up in Sydney for me, but I reckon in race two you can bet around the favourite. So back the three and the four, and I reckon you'll get a result because I think that favourite is really short.
Last time you told us to do that was the Deploy race against Ektar. So very, very good. Deploy. Jules, we'll be following in on that. All right, gentlemen, our best in Melbourne. Now, I know that all three of us have one that we like a lot. Jules, we'll start with you down the end, mate. We covered it off in its race.
Yeah.
For you?
Yeah, we spoke about her. Race eight. Don't know what number she is actually, mate.
It's all right, mate. I'll
Ravi.
I'll come to the party on that. I believe
it could be six.
Race eight, number six, $5.50 into $5.
Yeah, now. I think she's a great bet. And I also think, look, I'm not one that does this too often. Don't really believe in it. But I reckon whatever your stake is, one the win and three the place, I think sensational for her because I don't think she'll miss. And I think at that price.
$2 the place.
Yeah, it's just a great price for me. There's a couple of others I like as well. Bear with me. I think race four, number four, I did it again, will win again. It's been really working the house down. We saw, like, it was off the map.
Yeah.
You guys were all over it on debut. Didn't let anyone down. I think it'll win again. I think, and just also those people playing at Caulfield, again, the wins back. So in those shoot races from 1,000 to 1,200 metres, be really careful of leaders. They find it really difficult to hold on. So you'll probably want some cover just in the shoot races. Really important to take note. So I'm hoping Nikita Berryman goes back on I Did It Again, yep, and gets some cover. Uh-huh. And also really like race 5, number 3, Duke of Brunswick. Forget about its last start. It's got one of the greatest jockey changes of the history of jockey changes, and that's no slight on Chris Caserta because he's a really good apprentice. But when you've got D. Oliver taking over, I think he'll go for be in a really good spot and be really hard to beat Duke of Brunswick in race 5. But
there you go. That's
really keen Ravi, really keen I Did It Again, and to a lesser extent, Duke of Brunswick.
Nice. And SD.
Can you just check race 2 for me, the scratchings?
It's definitely scratched. Whatever you're going to say, mate, it'll be scratched.
No, there is no scratchings in race 2.
You'll find a way.
Cliff's Edge.
Yes.
Back up. Love it. Jeez, he was posted last start at Flemington. Good lordy me. He was never on the track there. So 14 to 1,600 metres here, gate 1. We're Johnny Allen to ride. Give me Cliff's Edge, the son of Camford Cliffs. Race 2, number 2. Race 4, number 4. I Did It Again. Kylie Minogue's favourite horse. He's a bull, this horse. They've knocked back millions of dollars in offers to buy him. But Greg Ewald's wife, Danielle, owns the horse, and she wants a good horse in the stable, and they want to race him this spring. So he's back, and he trialled up super at Cranbourne.
Yeah, he did.
He's absolutely flying. Moonlight's Choice is my blowout in race 8, best roughy. And the one I want to take on in the last is race 9, number 13. Jamaican Rain. I think this horse, she's a 5-year-old mare, lightly raced, one or two sale and Morfettville on soft tracks. It's going to be a hard track. Julesy mentioned wind and all this sort of stuff. She's stepping up in grade. She's in the last. She's been heavily back, too short for mine. She's drawn one, going to get back big mare. I'm happy to take her on.
Nice. All right, and for what it's worth, guys, there's no real surprise on my best. It's short, but it wins. I've been told
biggest
to.
Biggest fan.
Brave Smash.
Yes.
I mean, race 6, number 3 here.
Maybe get a Brave Smash hat next week. That might
You can. It's got the blue to start with. We'll see what happens. But no, I've been told to watch out for a turn of foot like you've never seen before.
Ooh, so, is he in the Everest?
He is. Confirmed.
Yeah, ATC.
Confirmed the spot. So you'd be hoping that for the ATC's sake and the ownership that he'll come out and, to be honest, you'd think he'd blow these
ones. So was Weary going to run him in this race to try and gain a spot in the Everest?
No, I think he always wanted another run before the Everest because I don't think he screwed him right down. That Valley run, you'd hope he wasn't screwed down because he sort of got the job done in a tradesman-like performance.
You've got a turn of foot idea, I'm happy take it. You just take the
Got it done like a good horse, but I thought he was ridden too close. I reckon just back off another couple of pairs.
Yep.
Let him rip.
Yep.
Well, we had a look, and if you take Brave Smash into your best Ravi, into your best I Did It Again, you get about $21 for the treble. So I'll tell you what, there's a lot worse ways to lose $10 than having a crack at that.
Beautiful.
I'll tell you. All right, gentlemen, have a great weekend. Enjoy another beautiful weekend of racing as we move closer and closer to the real, real stuff. If we're having a pun, of course, let's do it responsibly. And, gentlemen, I'll see you next week. Thank you very much.
As the great Ball Roos says when the Swannies won the flag, here it is, the podcast.
Righto, that'll do. So, get off. Yeah,
cheers, mate.
Sportsbet's new same game multi lets you build a multi in one game of footy. It's basically a bet inside a bet inside a bet. It's like that strange turducken thing where you put a chicken inside a duck. Then you put the chicken inside the duck inside a turkey. Then you put all of that inside the oven.
Sportsbet same game multi. Build a multi in the same game of footy. Conditions apply. Gamble responsibly.
Voilà, my first ménage à trois.